Welcome to another episode of Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence. I am Jack Allen. All the business stuff, follow me on Twitter at Conspiracy or JC. I got a website, conspiracyorjustacoincidence.com. I'm on Gab. If you want to support the show, I got a Patreon, Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence. All my website as well, if you don't want to support through Patreon. Yeah, all that business stuff, follow me there. Thanks for listening. Leave a review. I got a constructive criticism review. I appreciate it all the same. I know I talk too much when other guests are talking. It's hard to hold back my emotions, but I will try to improve. So today's episode, I got an awesome guest, Billy Ray Valentine. You'll hear my intro that I talk about Billy, but great guy. So down to earth. So nice. This, I think I said it last episode, but this like truther community has so many good people in it, dude. Really, like it's an awesome group to be a part of. And I was honored to have him on the show. Super knowledgeable. We talked a whole bunch of stuff. It's a great conversation. You'll really enjoy it. He cracks me up. I have an awesome episode coming out this weekend on the scam that is the World's Fairs. And then I'm going to have the author on the show at some point in the next few weeks as well. Got a lot of great stuff in the books cooking. And that's it. All right, guys. If you want to support the show, conspiracyorjustacoincidence.com. Follow me on Twitter at conspiracyorjac. And that is it. Yeah. All right. Keep reading. Keep learning. Here we go. Enjoy the show. Peace. All right, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Conspiracy or Just a Coincidence. So today I have the smoothest voice in the conspiracy truth or podcasting world, Billy Ray Valentine. Billy, thanks for being on the show, dude.
Hey man, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it, man.
It's an honor to be on. Sleep, bro.
What's that?
You can put a baby to sleep with that voice.
And you know, I get all types of comments, right? Yeah. I get some of those and I get some, you're loud as hell. Shut the hell up.
Oh, dude. You know? So you got a nice tone in there, bro.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate it. How you doing?
I'm good, man. So I was telling you before we started the show that I heard you on Isaac Weishaupt's show, which we think is back in like July. And you were hip to the QAnon movement then, dude. What was the things that, well, how long have you like been in this and what set you off that made you hip to that, you know, psyop that it is?
Well, you know, there's several steps to this, right? And the thing is, right, and I just did Mark Devlin's show about 3 weeks ago. Are you familiar with Mark?
Yeah, I've heard that name.
Yeah, well, anyway, I did a whole Q presentation. I don't want to call it a presentation. We had a discussion,
yeah,
you know, about QAnon and Trump and the plan and all this other stuff. And the conversation went well, and the thumbs up, thumbs down ratio on the YouTube video.
Yeah.
Really good. But everybody that got pissed off went to the comments section.
Right. So yeah.
They crucified me. Right. And, but that was a big Q audience, right?
Right.
Because Mark was on, he was leaning towards pro Trump, pro Q, right? Yeah. So I live in New York, right? I'm from New York. I'm from the Bronx. I've been here all my life, and I've never been a fan of Donald Trump. So that was easy. It was easy for me to not buy into it, right? It's not because of any evidence that was out there, even though there was overwhelming evidence, right? But it wasn't because I can't claim that I'm looking at QAnon and I'm like, oh, come on, this is utter nonsense. No, it didn't go that way. I was just like, wait a minute, they're saying that Trump is literally, they're saying that Trump is the guy. I'm like, no, there's something seriously wrong with this. And I started from that premise. So people would say, you know, I started from a premise of negativity with it, but there's nothing positive about it in my view. You know, other people may say differently. And if you disagree with me, feel free and we can have the conversation. Right.
No.
You know, but I wanted to be wrong. Like, why wouldn't I want to be wrong? This is what people say, that I have a Trump derangement syndrome, or that I somehow want to be right. Why would I want to be right about him being a piece of crap?
Yeah.
When, you know, like, why would I want to be right about QAnon not being a thing? Why? You know, like, why? Like, I mean, if you believe the wildest narratives of a QAnon, it's like, dude, they're gonna forgive your debt. They're gonna cure all diseases. You know,
right.
It's gonna be a utopia on Earth. I want that.
Yeah.
Of course, who doesn't want that, right?
Right.
You know, or just if we can buy into, the white hats, right? An underground army of people fighting back on the elite and the New World Order. Hells yeah, I'm all for that. If you can prove it to me, you know, like, why wouldn't I be for that is what I think. So I went in there wanting to be wrong about this. Even when Donald Trump was running for president, I couldn't fully buy in because I knew who Donald Trump was. And I said this on Devlin's show, and people were like, oh, this guy is saying that he knows who he is. Cause I literally said, I know this guy, but I meant it figuratively.
Right.
I didn't mean it, you know, that I actually know him, but I grew up with him here in New York, and he doesn't have a very good reputation here. People don't like him here. He lost here twice. You know, I mean, it's changed. He does have people that are sympathetic to what it is he does here, you know, but most people don't have a favorable opinion of Donald Trump. Right. And it's because he's all over the tabloids. He's always doing something shady. People are coming around saying, what the hell about this guy, for a long time, you know, and, his involvement with the mob, his involvement with a guy like Roy Cohn, who was his mentor, you know, and what Roy Cohn was all about, you know, and then you see a lot of different things. So I automatically was like, okay, I'm not here with this. But while he was running for president, I started saying, man, maybe I'm wrong. You know, and I started looking at him like, wait a minute. He said he was going to, you know, reveal information about 9/11. He was going to open up a new investigation. I'm like, really? You know, and then what did it for me was during the debates, when he brought, I don't know, about five or six women that were allegedly raped by Bill Clinton, and he brought them to the debate. I was like, whoa, I'm like, those are big moves. Those are some ballsy moves. And I started paying attention. It's like, maybe this guy's for real. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you something, and I think I've said this on air before, but if I haven't, breaking news for you here. I almost voted for this guy. I almost did, against my better principles. I don't vote. I've only voted once in my life, and I voted for Ron Paul.
Interesting. You
know?
Nice.
You know, and I've never voted since. So I was like, damn, I definitely don't want Hillary Clinton to be the president of the United States. We all know that's a bad thing, right? So there's this guy, and I know he is morally bankrupt, and I know that he's a pathological liar, but he's doing some people change, you know, people change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And I'm like, he's doing some things here, man. And I'm like, when he brought all those women out, I was like, wait a minute, you don't do stuff like this. Right. this is some big game things. He started pulling out the really big guns. Like, I don't care. And so I'm buying into it. I'm like, man, this guy's for real. You know, and I know that he knows all of these conspiracies. My friend Don Jeffries is friends with I'm drawing a blank on this guy's name. What's his name? Roger Stone. There you go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He wrote his foreword. Right.
Right. Right. Right. He's friends with Roger Stone. And Roger Stone is like, yo, Trump knows all about all of these conspiracies. And this was before he was running for president. Mm-hmm. So I'm positive that he knows about it. But what is he doing about them? Right. What is he doing about them? Yeah. You know, or is he using them to manipulate? You know, while I don't give Trump a lot of credit, I should give him some credit for some things. Right. Because he was able, I do give him a ton of credit for being one of the most charismatic men on the face of the planet. Right. He can move a crowd. That's another thing. It was super entertaining, you know, to see him do his thing. So I was into it and I almost got up and voted. And then I was like, nah, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm like, let me sit this out. Let me see how this goes. So there's no magic, you know, there wasn't some thing that I saw, like some undeniable proof that I was like, oh, I can't deal with this. You know, it was off the bat. I was just privy to things that most of the country and most of the world really haven't been, because they're not familiar with Donald Trump on that level. They know The Apprentice.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And they know that he's a playboy. Right. And he's a millionaire. So it's kind of like a Bruce Wayne type thing. Right.
That's
like,
true. Yeah. God,
look at Donald Trump. He has so many women and so many cars and everything is gold. And, you know,
yeah.
But, you know, we saw a bit of a different Donald Trump out here. Mm-hmm. I used to listen to Howard Stern religiously, right, when I was a kid. And Donald Trump was on often because Donald Trump would say outrageous stuff, you know. And while I'd like to listen to it and laugh about it, I don't know if I want this guy to be the president of the United States. You know, like wait a minute here, you know, but that was what was being, that was what was happening. Mm. And that's like, I just couldn't bring myself to vote. I couldn't do it. And then the rumblings of the QAnon started happening in 2017. Right. That's when it started coming about and people were hitting me with it. I was already doing the Infinite Fringe, you know, and people were like, QAnon. And I'm like, what is that? I wasn't even paying attention really, you know? And they're like, no, QAnon is real. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And then they started talking to me about the drops and everything. And then they talked to me about Trump. And I was, this is a good friend of mine, the Andrew Bello. You know, we had a conversation and he's like, yeah, Trump and this. I'm like, no, this can't be real, dude. And he's like, yep, it is. It's absolutely real. This is a real thing that's going on. And Trump is leading. I'm like, no, dude. I'm like, this can't. So I started looking into it and I'm like, wait a minute. This is all like, provably wrong, so much of it. And you know, he started predicting things that would never happen, but people didn't seem to care. It's still to this day they don't care.
No, they don't. Yeah,
I didn't get hip to the psychological operation of it till a lot later in the game. I remember Neil Sanders talking about, it's my boy Neil, shouts to Neil. I don't know if you're familiar with his work.
I don't, I'll have to check him out.
You have to, man. He's fantastic. It's Your Thoughts Are Not Your Own, Neil Sanders. And he was on, I think it was Richie Allen. I don't remember, but he was on that show talking about Cambridge Analytica. And I kept that. I was like, damn, that's interesting as hell, you know? And I started looking at Cambridge and then it came out into the mainstream. It kind of crossed over, you know, and they were talking about how Donald Trump was intimately involved with Cambridge Analytica, you know, and then I kept looking more and it's Bolsonaro in Brazil and Brexit in the UK. And it was like, what is
going on? Is that all tied together? Bolsonaro?
Yeah, man.
Wow, dude. I didn't know that he was part of it. That thing.
Yeah, it's Cambridge. It's all came from Cambridge Analytica.
Jeez, dude. He's like the Brazil version of Trump. There's like
right.
There, I even remember on Twitter before they kicked all those, there was like people, Bolsonaro, Trump, you know, like a Twitter group with that.
Right. No, it was all of that was a thing.
Damn.
And I mean, they all came from the same source.
Right.
And then I started listening to it in mainstream sources, right? Like there's a show that I listen to every morning. I've been listening to it for years. I don't agree with everything, but they have good information sometimes. So I listen to a lot of stuff I don't agree with, right? Wow. Like there's things that I agree with and things that I don't agree with in almost everything. And I think that's the way we should view things and take it in. Don't shut it because you disagree with it. Listen to it, you know, listen to it and see what you can get out of it. You may disagree with 99% of it, but there's 1% that you might agree with that might change something. You know, so listen to it and take it in. I try to do that as much as possible. I get triggered just like everybody else. So something be like, I'm done with this. And I turn it off and I keep on moving, but I come back. You know, I try to come back anyway. But anyway, I was listening to Democracy Now. There was a young lady on it. I don't remember who she was. She was talking about Cambridge Analytica. And I'm like, I know about Cambridge Analytica. And she's like, 5,000 data points on every American from Facebook. 5,000 data points that they used on every American from Facebook. So I'm like, this is too much. This is too much. So I kept going down that road and looking, and I'm like, man, pretty much we gave them all our information. Mm. Right. And we know this, you and I, and people that listen to the show, right? Shows like this and this show in particular, we know that social media is not exactly the greatest thing for us. We're giving them all this information, and it's on the premise that it's free. And it's not. There's nothing free. Nothing is ever free. and if it's free and you are giving them your information, you are the product, plain and simple. So they had all our information, and we don't know anything about these tech companies, man, besides the surface. So they know everything about us, but we don't know jack about them, and we don't know what they're doing to our information. Well, what they were doing, it was giving it to companies like Cambridge Analytica. And they were using this information in order to manipulate the election and manipulate culture. It's not just the election. It's a culture war that they want to spark. A culture war, culture creation, you know? All of this stuff was the goal of companies like Cambridge Analytica and their parent company, the SEL Group, so on and so forth, right? And then I started getting really interested, and I started seeing some patterns. I started seeing some connections, I should say, not necessarily patterns, some connections between some people like a Steve Bannon and Cambridge Analytica. And I'm like, man, you know, because he was intimately involved.
Right.
And at one point I stumbled onto John Brissom. Are you, of course, you're familiar with that guy.
Yeah.
So John, the way John and I got connected was because he heard me on air, right? And I was just ranting. I think I was on my own on air and I was ranting for an hour. I do that when I'm by myself. I like to have guests because I can talk to them and, you know, let it go. But sometimes, you know, if I'm on my own, I could just get on a rant. And that's what I was doing that day. I forgot what happened with Trump, what he did. I don't know if it was when Qasem Soleimani was killed, because I know I went on a big rant when that happened. And but there were several of these rants, so I can't pinpoint it. Anyway, he heard it and he reached out to me and he's like, hey, listen, if you need somebody to come on and talk about QAnon and talk about Trump, I'd be more than happy to do so. So I was like, sure. Yeah, come on, let's do it. So we did it. And now he calls me every day. We speak every single day ever since, you know, but what he did was he calls me out on air, right? I get on him every day for this, almost every day, because he wanted to have my head on a platter, right? Yeah. Pretty much on air. He was going to destroy me on air. Only thing is I copped it to not knowing, right? So he goes, hey, you've heard of the Council on Foreign Relations, right? I'm like, yeah, I've heard of it. Of course, who hasn't? You've heard of the Bilderberg Group, right? I'm like, yeah. He's like, what if I told you there was this other think tank called the CNP? He's like, do you know anything about the CNP? You know, and he was waiting for me to say, yeah, because either I knew about it or I didn't want to let everybody else know that I didn't know about it. And then he was going to tear me apart.
Yeah.
He was going to lower the hammer.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for him, that's not my style. If I don't know something, I'll just say, I don't know it. So I'm like, no, tell me about it. And it kind of caught him off guard. And then he starts telling me about it. But, and now we're friends as a result. But that was another piece of the puzzle, you know, that I wasn't familiar with. And I'm like, man, there's something a little bit deeper going on here than what I initially thought. Because initially I thought QAnon was literally a dude in his basement. And I'm like, people are just believing this. It's just a dude in his basement. But then I got hip to the CMP. I got hip to Cambridge Analytica. And I was like, wait a minute. These people have been manipulating minds for a long time.
Yeah.
And then people like Steve Bannon are involved. and people like Michael Flynn are involved, and a Stanley McChrystal. And you start making these connections, and I'm like, wait a minute, there's a real possibility that this QAnon could be a gigantic psychological operation run on the American people. You know, and that's pretty much, I know that was a long-winded.
No, dude. You made a great point, though, about Roger Stone and that comment to Don Jeffries, because that, I mean, I know that's like a simple connection, but that even made more sense of why this was created, because he's that played on a whole group of people that, you know, normally either would stay ambivalent or,
it was us.
Yeah.
They played us, bro.
Yeah.
You know, and we were the ones, I say this often, but we were the ones that were more susceptible to the Cambridge Analytica operation. You know, when they took the data points, they were like, well, who's going to buy Drain the Swamp? Who's going to buy?
Yeah.
Because this was a script. I don't know if you're familiar. I've said this many, many times, but it's a script, right? It was a script created by Cambridge Analytica, right?
Interesting.
Yeah. And before Trump was even in the picture, right, they created this script of trigger words and phrases that would get people invested, that would trigger people, right? And it was a build a wall, drain the swamp, lock her up. I mean, Trump's entire repertoire. He delivered it well. You know, he has a background in professional wrestling. So he knows what to do.
Yeah.
So he delivered it really well, but those words weren't his, admittedly, at this point. They came from a script, Cambridge Analytica, from the 5,000 data points on every American. They knew what was going to make people tick. And I want to say, this is just me adding on to it, that it was just judging from the information that was put out there, not just by QAnon, but by Donald Trump himself, saying that he was going to release the JFK files.
Yeah.
He was going to have a new investigation on 9/11. He was going to get with John F., with Robert Kennedy Jr. on the vaccinations. You know, on vaccination issues, all of that went out the window, all of it. But while we were voting for him, or there was campaign time, he was pushing this hard. And I was like, why would he push that? Not for the mainstream, right? The mainstream don't believe in that.
Yeah.
It's us. We believe in it. We believe in it. So I believe we were particularly targeted, you know, and because we were more susceptible to that, to the operation. And from us, like a virus, we infected a brand new, right, frame of people. Now, if you notice, a lot of people that subscribe to QAnon, right, or that did, or that do now, or still do, they're fairly new to conspiracy theory.
Yeah,
and they look at it as if all of these conspiracy theories it's something new. It's like it's something that QAnon has opened their eyes about, and Trump is going to defeat it. So they don't see anything different. This is the area that they've been funneled into. So we were co-opted, and then we spread it to other people that were of like mind, but not quite with us. But then they were with us, just not for us. They were for Trump and the white hats and stuff that was absolutely fictional. Right. And, that's how we infected that. That's how we crossed over this operation into the mainstream. You know, it came out of 4chan, right? And it went to Facebook, and then it went to YouTube via Tracy Beans, you know, and she spread it out there, you know, and then boom, it blew up.
Do you think like I've seen, I don't think she's on Twitter anymore, right? Tracy Beans.
I don't know.
Do you think that these people, like Sather and all these guys, do you think there's like ulterior motive, or do you think they're doing, I mean, obviously it was made for, you know, content creators that push that narrative, but they still push it. So it's either they can't main, like they don't want to ruin face, or, you know, cause I don't know, they push it. So, but like, what's your take on that?
Well, man, I think some of these, I mean, and I don't know, right. I don't know Jordan Sather. I don't know Tracy Beans. I don't know Amazing Polly.
Yeah.
I don't know these people. Right. I can only judge from what I'm seeing. So take this for what it's worth.
Yeah.
Right. I think Jordan Sather's a true believer. Mm. I think he's a true believer. I don't think Tracy Beans was a true believer. I think Tracy Beans has some connections to Michael Flynn. I think they know the deal, you know, but Amazing Polly, is a true believer to the point that she buys her own hype, even if it's nonsense. She put out, what was it? Wayfair. The Wayfair conspiracy came straight out of Amazing Polly. And she knows she made it up in her head. She admitted it on air. I did a whole show about it. I played the clip. She admitted just making this up on the spot. Just making it up.
Wow.
But she won't pull back because she got so much out of it. And right. And there's so many, and people get upset, you know, when I say this. There are so many people that have benefited off of Trump / QAnon and all of this stuff. Their audience is skyrocketed, you know. And I was talking about this with Isaac, actually.
Yeah,
I think we did it on the show, and Isaac is like, I get so much hate mail about this, and I'm like, listen. I'm like, we're doing the wrong thing. He says, you know, we should be going pro QAnon if we wanted to just get an audience.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
And that's why, you know, Isaac is that dude, man. I have so much respect for Isaac, and I'm glad to call him a friend. You know, he's genuine. He's real. Mm-hmm. He's not doing it because he wants to get an audience. He's doing it because he wants to entertain. Yes. But he wants to entertain in the right way. You know, he doesn't want to lie to you. You know, and a lot of these QAnon people, a lot of the pro-Trump people, they didn't think they were lying to anyone. Yeah, it's how they actually felt.
Right.
You know, SGT report for one, that they had like almost a million subscribers on YouTube. That's crazy. Wow. I mean, it's heartbreaking that they got kicked off of YouTube because they built that audience. It was hard to build, you know, and they're still doing just fine.
Right.
But, they've been pushing this narrative for a long, long time, and it hasn't happened yet. Somebody needs to turn around and say, okay. And that's why I give Mark Devlin props. He was like, all right, none of this stuff is happening. We need to reevaluate. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's some people that are not reevaluating. Either they're proud or they're doubling down, tripling down, quadrupling down. Or they really believe it and still continue to believe it, you know?
Yeah.
At some point, you would hope that they would require a bit more evidence, you know, than what they're buying into. Because quite frankly, we don't have any.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what I'm like. I'm like, there's nothing to hold on to. You're holding on to nothing. But you're still holding on nonetheless. Mm-hmm. You know, so I don't understand that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think it's just amazing, dude, how much like we're so malleable, dude. You know, like listeners and people that have those huge followings. And I always think like, if they're doing that well, there's no way like that if they're pushing like a narrative, that's not like you'll get, I don't know. Which brings me to like my next, a guy like Bishop Larry Gators who blocked everybody recently. But there is a lot of people that it's like, they have such a huge following, and people blindly accept that it's true. Right. Right? And that's like what I guess is terrifying a little bit, because you know, anybody that is personable, like Trump, I mean, he's like the perfect example. He was able to whip all these people into a frenzy.
Right.
I don't know.
It's a certain amount of charisma, bro.
Yeah.
You know, Trump is incredibly charismatic. You know, it's just what a personality, right? Like, it's just like, oh my God, like this is full of energy at 74, right?
Yeah.
It's like he could run a marathon. Right. And he has the persona, even though this is not what he is, because I know this is not what he is, but he has the persona of an alpha male. Mm-hmm. Guys, whatever I say goes, you know, and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
He wants to put that out, you know. but people buy into it, you know, because he's an excellent salesman. He's an excellent He can set perception. There you go. That's a better word than an excellent salesman. He's failed many times in business, but he can set perception. Mm-hmm. And that's a gift. And some people can even call it magical. You know, like, I will set the perception of me that I want you to see. And you can do that, right? Mm-hmm. If you project the right things, even if that's not you, you can project these things outwardly and people will believe them if you do it right. And that's what a Trump is. Bishop Larry Gators is extremely similar. You know, he has incredible charisma.
Yeah.
You know, he came on my show.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, man, you didn't hear that?
No, I didn't know he came on the show.
Yeah. It's one of my most downloaded shows ever.
Dude, I have to check it out then. That's hilarious.
Well, so he came on the show, right? Yeah. And I was like, I was talking to Brussum the entire time. I was like, let's see how real this guy is. I don't know. I could like him. I'm like, I could really like this guy, but I don't know. You know, I'm like, I'll give him some light pushback.
Right.
Light pushback.
Okay.
So had him on the show. And he's like, Brother Billy, you know, he's like, oh, Brother Billy, it's fantastic. Thank you for having me on your show. I'm so humbled, X, Y, and Z, you know, great. So we get into it. The guy goes on a 45-minute to 50-minute freaking soliloquy, bro.
Yes.
Gone. Dude. Gone. Yep. And I mean, I didn't get a word in right. 50 minutes, bro.
Right. Right.
Maybe I got a, oh, okay. Oh, all right. Like, I mean, boom, he just went. Like, I didn't interrupt. I just let him go. And at the end of it, I'm like, man, that was a whole lot of information. We're definite. And I wanted to set the expectations in people's minds here because I didn't want people to say, why didn't you say this? Why didn't you ask that? I'm like, no way we're going to touch all of this. Not in one episode. Mm-hmm. I typically only do an hour.
Right.
We did an hour and 45 minutes with the bishop because I didn't get to interview him till after the fact. Right. So then I started interviewing him, you know, and I was really nice to him. I could have been brutal.
Yeah.
I was really nice to him. And I tested him about his naming of Africa theory. And I tested him about, you know, some of his Trump beliefs, you know. And at the time we spoke about Biden and we both agreed that Trump was going to win the election at the time. I agreed with him and he said, absolutely. And I was like, Joe Biden doesn't stand a chance at that point. COVID hadn't hit, I don't think. I could be wrong about that. But I know for sure Kamala Harris wasn't in the picture.
Okay.
Because that's what changed me. Once they got Kamala Harris and everything was going on with the Black Lives Matter and all the riots and all this other stuff, I was like, man, this doesn't look good. Like, I know exactly what they did here. And I remember saying it on air, in America Unplugged, that's the show I do for Iconic.
Okay.
And I had Recluse on and Brissom. And I was like, man, this doesn't look good, guys. I'm like, they just got Kamala Harris. I'm like, with all the stuff that's going on out there, Black Lives Matter. And they're going to vote for this. They're going to vote for this woman. I'm like, this is a real problem. And both of them looked at me like I had like three heads and I was growing horns. They're like, no, what are you talking about? They're like, nobody's going to buy this. I'm like, no, we're thinking about us. The alternative community is not going to buy it.
Right.
Right. We're in a bubble. It just became even more and more evident that we are in a bubble. And I'm like, the alternative community is not going to buy it. But they are. Everybody else, they are. They're riding the streets. And then they go, well, the fact that they're riding the streets is going to turn people off. I'm like, who is it going to turn off? It's going to turn off right-wing Republicans. That's who it's going to turn off. And maybe not even all of them, because there's the white guilt issue comes in that you're thinking, damn, man, all this racism is going on. I'm not racist. You know, I'm not racist. I want to show that I'm not racist. So I'm going to vote for this African-American to show that I'm not racist, not to mention that she's a woman also. Right.
Yeah. Right.
And they want to, I mean, this is only one particular example. And it's bad to focus in on one example, but there was footage. I don't know if you remember, but of a white woman kneeling to either a Black man or a Black woman. I don't know who it was. Because, you know, all of the bad stuff that white people were responsible for,
right.
You know, against, and this was, you know, during that entire time with all those riots going on in the summer. Actually it was during COVID, now that I think of it, because I remember we were having discussions that everybody's riding in the streets. They forgot about COVID, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. So then I started thinking, I'm like, there's a problem, you know? And, I'm like, then I changed my mind and said, Joe Biden was going to win the election. And I got a ton of crap for that. But nice back to the bishop. What's up? So we agreed on it, you know, but I pushed back. I pushed back on him on several different subjects, you know.
And we didn't doesn't like that.
No, he didn't. I mean, he was good with it on air.
Yeah.
You know, he even told me, I don't know if we recorded it on air or if I have it after the fact. But he even told me, he goes, this is the best interview I've ever done. ever. He's like, it's so good. I've never done an interview like this. I'm like, oh, great. Bishop Larry Gators, thank you very much. Let's have you back on so we can flesh everything out.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, great. And I'm like, my boy Brissom wants to have you on too. And he's like, would you do it? He's like, yeah, I'll do that too.
Okay, yeah,
no problem. So he tells me, send me the MP3,
yeah,
of the show we did so I, yeah, can put it up on my site.
Yeah.
Like, no problem, Bishop. You got it. Right. So cue it up, send it to the Bishop. Never puts it up. I'm like, okay, fine. I mean, people do that to me all the time. Right.
They're
like,
right.
I told them, I'm like, yo, send me what we did, you know, and then I won't put it up because either I'm absent-minded or I just get sidetracked or whatever. Right. So I'm like, okay, fine. Like, no problem. So he didn't put it up. But I'm like, well, he said he was going to be on Brissom's show. And my other guy is the conspiracy horseman. Right. And I'm like, okay, fine. I'm like, hey, Bishop, you know, I was about to hit him up. And we conversed via Twitter.
Yeah.
Right. So I go on. And this was like just a couple of weeks after the interview, the greatest interview he ever had. and he freaking blocks me on Twitter.
No way.
What the hell? You know, first he blocked Isaac.
Yes, I remember Isaac was that, dude.
Yeah, yeah, Isaac tells me, he goes, yo, you're having the Bishop on. I'm like, yeah, I'm having him on. He's like, ask him why he blocked me. And I did. Before we went on air, I asked, hey, did you, my friend Isaac Whitetop, he says, you blocked him, you know? And he goes, I didn't do that. He's like, I didn't block him. He's like, it was my assistants that did it. But meanwhile, I'm talking to him the entire time on Twitter.
Yeah.
I'm talking straight to the Bishop. I'm not talking to any of his assistants.
He's so, dude.
Right. I'm talking straight to him. We're back and forth. Right. And I was telling Isaac, I'm like, nah, man, we'll probably, you know, it's probably a misunderstanding or something like that. Then he turned around and blocked me. Now he's blocked Sam Triple. Like, dude, he's, you know, what can I say about the Bishop? Listen, it's a lot of, he's very entertaining.
Yeah.
He's very entertaining. And I remember the times where we can listen to conspiracies and be entertained by that.
Mm-hmm.
That's dope, right? Because you want that. Like, I know I wanted that. I was like, Jesus, that's freaking interesting.
Yeah.
It might have been bullshit, but it was interesting. Right. And that's cool. But you know, the Bishop presents a lot of this stuff as if it's fact.
Yeah.
You know, and nowadays it's I'm trying to get back to the to topics that I can have fun with.
Yeah.
You know, but look where we're at, right? And I say this often. I'm like, the door is open and shut behind us. It's like, we talked about the New World Order for a long time.
Yeah.
Right? We talked about all of this stuff for a long time. It's here now. Mm-hmm. Okay. If it wasn't here before, or if it wasn't evident enough for us to see before, it is slapping us in the face right now. Mm-hmm. Or kicking us in the face with a Timberland boot. Yo, we're here now. Pay attention. Right? Yeah. So at that point, you kind of got to shift your, I don't know if I want to say priorities or your way of looking at things. I don't know. But when the Bishop Larry Gators goes out there and says Kobe Bryant was sacrificed for a ritual to set off the coronavirus, I'm like, okay, dude, great. You know, but how many people bought into that and believed it to be true?
Yeah, dude. Well, I had him on my show when I first started.
Right.
And it was the same thing. Like it was the soliloquy. And I want to ask him a question because he said something like the Boulets protect the 13 families, something like that. And I was like, how do you know? And he texted me while we're on air and says, Brother Jack, please don't ask questions.
Oh my God.
Wow. And then, it was like when I first started. So I was like, you know, because he was just on tinfoil hat.
Right.
So
no, like, absolutely. Absolutely. I know exactly how that goes.
And then I read, not that this guy, Peter Lavenda. Have you ever read any of his books?
I never read his books, but I know the name.
Yeah. Well, so he's friends with Tom DeLonge. So that kind of almost cancels out everything that he says.
Right.
But he talks about this thing called the Wandering Bishops. And it was in the CIA and during the Cold War. But they basically, what happened was you're consecrated as a bishop. And there was a wayward bishop that left the Catholic or Orthodox Church. And you need a bishop to consecrate a bishop. So he consecrated a bishop who paid a person who paid him some amount of money or whatever,
right,
did a favor. And now it created this line of bishops. So they would just go around consecrating each other. And then the CIA used them. They they had people consecrated and they used them as in churches and it was also that, like, even Aleister Crowley couldn't run a black mass. Now, this is all Peter Lavenda,
right?
But they would use these consecrated bishops as like the ultimate heresy. You know, they were consecrated by a man who was so. And so I always wondered, you know, who consecrated Bishop Laird? And I'm not saying he's like, but I always was like, dude, who gave you the title of bishop? You know,
right,
like,
right.
But it was just an interesting thing that I read that then Peter Lavenda, that like, you know, this was like a whole thing. Like there's a whole right. tree of these and they just go around reconsecrating right. each other to like, say like, you know, like this, I'm you know, this is my list, like this is who's done it with me. And but it was just so I saw when you, like, even then I was like, dude, he sounds like, you know, he presents yeah. this as fact, but how much of it is
right how much of this can he actually prove?
Yeah
you know,
I asked him what book he got it from too, and the book he has nothing, you know, because like the Kobe Bryant thing and all this stuff. It was just, I don't know,
when it jumped the shark, well, it jumped the shark very early for me, but even more evidence that he was just grabbing onto straws. He may actually believe this stuff. I don't know. I'm not in Bishop Larry Gator's
right. right.
But Dr. Dre had an aneurysm a couple of months ago. Right. And I was like, damn, man, Dre might die. Jesus, you know, not cool.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan. Right. Like if you were a kid in the 90s, of course, you know, you're going to vibe to Dre and Aftermath and you know, that, right, that yeah. type of West Coast hip hop that was vibing at the time. He immediately jumped on that. Why the Boule want to kill Dr. Dre? And I'm like, the dude can't have an aneurysm now. Like, I mean, that's not a thing, yeah. right? Like, I right. mean, what's more probable, you know, Dr. Dre having an aneurysm or the Boule trying to kill a $800 million African-American that can potentially, if, and I don't believe this, I don't believe the Boule had anything to do with anything with Dr. Dre, but if we're going to get conspiratorial, what's the best way to go here? They're going to kill him, or they can, you know, sit him down and say, hey, $800 million man, you didn't get this on your own. We paved the way for you to get it. And now you will do something for us. Right. I mean, that sounds, if I'm the deep state, if I am the Boule, if I'm the New World Order, let bring me Dr. Dre. Let's have a conversation. Have him sit down, please. And then threaten him, you know, be like, yeah, you know, we can kill you, but we don't want that. You know, right. We want to make you some money and we want some control. That's all we want. Done. Right.
Yeah.
That's it. If we're going to get conspiratorial about it, I think that's the best way to go.
Right.
But no, you know, they murdered him just like and Bishop Larry Gators is thank the Lord that Dre's OK for that matter.
All right.
But Bishop Larry Gators wasn't the first right to do stuff like this. I remember DMX just passed away. Mm-hmm. And I remember back in the day, I want to say about 2005, 2010, maybe there were a lot of rumors that the New World Order was trying to kill DMX, that really? They had him under MK Ultra mind control.
Really?
Yeah, some of these videos had 300,000, 400,000 views on YouTube.
Right. Yeah.
This was before they were banned, you know?
Right.
And yeah. I fully bought into a lot of that stuff. I was like, yo, they're going to kill DMX. You know, like I was into it, you know, or Kanye West being MK Ultra mind controlled. Right. Well, and I think you could still make an argument for some of this stuff. Right. So you can't fully rule it out. But how much of it was just conspiratainment? Rather than,
oh, I like that word. Nice.
I can't take credit for that. So, shouts to Recluse, and Recluse can't take credit for it either. He gives credit to somebody else for it, but I learned it from Recluse. So.
That's solid. No, it's, and also I noticed this because like I just started I was a heroin addict for a long time. So I like left conspiracies and they came back. But I see a lot of like the new age like truthers as well. Do you,
right.
Are you, I don't know, like, I assume because you hang out with John, you have similar viewpoints, right?
John and I argue about this shit all the time.
Oh, do you?
Right, yeah.
But I just wanted your take, dude.
As far as what? Give me the question again so I can, I mean, well, like, I argue just, about, well, go ahead.
Come no, on. I was just going to say, like, how I just see a lot of, like, this new age, like, repackaged theosophy that's kind of, like, been put into the truth, and it's like, it just seems to, like this alternative media is so splintered Yeah. That maybe because there is like was that large influx, like you said, because it was. It definitely got all these people that weren't, and now it's getting splintered, and it's like just a mess of a. There is no cohesion, you know.
Right. So as far as the new age goes, right? Like and John and I argue about this on air.
Okay.
And we argue about it on the phone. You know, we argue about it all the time.
Yeah.
And he legit gets pissed. Like legit gets pissed at. So like I'm a Christian, right?
Yeah.
You know, maybe I should stop disclosing what I am because people automatically put a connotation on you. Because people want to, and I get a lot of shit for this too. These you're asking me about my most controversial views.
Oh, man.
It's all good though. people have this cookie cutter or mold perception of what a Christian should be or what Christianity is, you know, because of the way they interpret the text. And people say, well, there is no interpretation. There is the fact of the text. It's clear as day. And I'm like, no. That is your interpretation of things. Sure. As my interpretation of things, if I read the text, it's going to mean something completely different to me. It's going to mean something completely different to you and completely different to a lot of the people listening. Are we going to find people that believe exactly as we do? Sure, we will. But there are for people that believe exactly as you do, there are about three or four people that disagree with you. You know, and you need to see it that way because I think that's the way, well, I don't know that, but you just need to see it that way because that's the way people are going to perceive the text. The text is up for interpretation. We weren't around when it was written. We have no idea, yeah. Right? So yeah. We can only speculate in the direction that we wish to speculate in, right? So when I talk about the New Age, like some people on John's channel call me a New Ager. They've also called me a Freemason. A CIA operative.
There's a lot of mental illness though, bro. And when they do that, so.
Well, they do it, bro. So, so I'm like, okay, fine. That's fine. Call me what you will. But they call me a New Ager, right? Because I believe in certain things, right? Because I say that I believe that we, and I always say this in the name of God. It's not like I'm saying it in any other way. You know, I say that God has given us these abilities. I think some of this is provable, right? You ever had a premonition that something was going to go down and then it did? You know, you ever had a dream about somebody and then they turn up the next day? You know, things like this happen all the time to a lot of people and people just keep going as if it's nothing.
Right.
No, there's something there, man. There's a reason for that. You know, I think that we are dumbed down versions of what humans actually are supposed to be. Right. And when I say that, Christians get upset at me and they say, well, what do you think that you're God? I'm like, no, I never said that I was God. I said, God gave us abilities that we are not using.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, that's the Kundalini spirit. That's evil. I'm like, well, how is it evil if we have the ability to do it? Right. You know, like it's what we do with the ability that could be evil. Right. But I think personally, and these are far-fetched, crazy, crazy views. And I'm willing to admit that, but I think that we can walk on water. I do. I don't think anybody's, well, I can't say that either, but most people haven't done it. Most people will never do it. And I know you probably think I'm crazy for thinking.
No, dude, I've heard that theory. No,
I think we can.
Yeah.
I think we can manipulate our surroundings or manipulate our body in a sense. Mm-hmm. I look at the Buddhist monks in with crazy respect.
Oh yeah.
Incredible respect what they're able to do. You know, and according to some Christians, all those people are going to go to hell because they believe in something different. I don't subscribe to that, right? Mm-hmm. I look at what they do and I'm like, oh my God, it is incredible. The devotion, the mental power that it takes to do what they do. We're not doing that here, for sure, right? Yeah. For sure. And they're meditating tons of times and then they're able to turn their body temperature off and on.
Yeah.
How are they able to do that? Yeah. If they can do it, why can't I? You know, right. And I'm thinking, you know, this Buddhist monk is sitting in a pile of snow right now and he's sweating. How is he doing this, right? And this is all over. You can find it. It's called Tumu Meditation. Okay. Go ahead and Google it. You'll find something. right? You'll find the Discovery Channel, you'll find the History Channel, you'll find people that did independent documentaries on this. This is a real thing. So we're not using our bodies, we're not using our abilities to their full potential, right? And I come back to the artificial with that. You know, we are creating stuff that will simulate those abilities that we have naturally, but we've forgotten that we had. So in order to compensate for them, we create the artificial, like right now. I believe in that I can talk to you, but that people can talk potentially telepathically. This is a thing, right? But we don't do it. We think it's nonsense, in particular here in the West. So what do we have? We have the internet and we have Zoom, and I can talk to you and you can talk to me, you know?
Right.
We may be able to do this in other ways, but what's the caveat here, right? We're talking about the internet and the computers and all this other stuff. So what's wrong with it? Nothing's wrong with it, except for the massive amounts of radiation that are coming out of it.
Right? Sure. Right.
Right. So we're trying to duplicate God's creation, but we don't know what God's creation is. You know, that's the way I look at it. So we're trying to duplicate it. And in while we are doing things that are productive in the immediate, they are not exactly the best thing for us in the long run. But we don't see it.
No, that's a very interesting viewpoint, dude. I like it. I like asking everyone, because I'm relatively just started reading 2 years ago, and I know you've been doing this a long time. So there's just so much information and different opinions. And so I'm always interested in people that have been studying it a long time.
I've only been doing this as far as a show for about 3.5 years.
But you've been into it longer, right?
I have been into it longer. Yeah. So, yeah. But as far as a show and a public personality, it hasn't been that long.
Right. But still. So where do you see this? Because you kind of said how it's at the door, or they're kicked in the door already. What, I guess that's the thing a lot of people, and I ask that too, I hate that term black belt, but what is there? What's next, or what can we do that would, in your opinion?
It's tough, because the first thing that we need to do is realize that we have a problem, right? Mm-hmm. That's the first step in Alcoholics Anonymous. That's the first step in almost anything. You have to admit to yourself that you have a problem.
That's true.
And a lot of us are just sitting around saying, I'm going to trust the plan, or I don't want to hear any negativity. I don't want to hear it. I just want to hear positives. That's not going to make the negatives go away. It's mm-hmm. not.
Yeah,
it's like, right. It's like if you have cancer, you know what? I'm just not going to go to the doctor, and I'm going to ignore it, and I'm going to live my life. Hey, man, I wish you the best, right? But odds are it's not going to go very well for you, right? And this is the state that the alternative media is in.
Yeah.
They either want to trust everything, trust the plan, or they don't want to hear anything that may not be perceived as positive. Mm-hmm. They don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
It's just like, nope. I want to hear that everything's going to get better. I don't want phase out the negative. Like, all right, man, that's what you want. That's fine. You know, but end of the day, what we need to do is admit that there's a problem. There's nothing negative about admitting that there's a problem. That's its only positive, because it's the first step to getting yourself out of that problem. So once you admit it and you face that problem, it's your first step towards positivity. If that's what you want positivity. That is the first step. Damn, I've just been conned. Damn, there's an issue here, you know? And then I'm like, okay, boom, let's go. Let's move forward. Let's move together. We have to do it together. Right. So I try. And I say, I try because I fail, and I fail often. Right. But I try to be sympathetic to other people's views. And I try to be understanding, because I would wish they would be that way for me, you know? And I fall into things all the time. I fell into many, many, many nonsense conspiracies. I did, you know, yeah. Ain't nothing wrong with it, you know. So admitting that there's a problem, and then we do it together, right? After that, it's like, yeah, you fell for QAnon. Who the fuck cares? Let's move forward. It don't matter. It's not a thing, right? Let's just move forward and realize that we fell for QAnon, or realize that we fell for Donald Trump, or realize that we fell for the left-right paradigm. Realize that we fell for Wayfair. Pizzagate. It's another thing. I know people get triggered when they hear the word Pizzagate. You can find the roots of QAnon in Pizzagate, right? You can find them in Pizzagate.
Yeah,
you know, right. So there's a lot of things we haven't verified about Pizzagate. Sure. Do we need answers? Yeah, sure. I'm with that. We absolutely need answers. But do we know what happened? No. All of it is a bunch of speculation on our part, you know. And, but we want answers, and the government should provide us with answers. But if the government provided us with answers, would we even take them as fact? No, we wouldn't. Even if they're true or not. So there's that. But we've fallen for everything. Everybody's fallen for something, right? We're falling for things right now. You know, there's Cambridge Analytica is only one example of many, many, many psychological operation groups that exist at this point. And it could be you and I are having this conversation and we can be being worked right now. Yeah. You know, it's at that level, right? And right. We just got to admit that to ourselves, right? And then come together, move forward. Can we change it? Absolutely. What we need to do is, in my opinion, at this point, is find the middle ground. We need to find the balance, because it's gone way out of balance. And while we may want to bring it over to our side completely and totally, that's probably unrealistic. So we need to find the balance where we can work with the views of the other world, when we can work with the technocracy, because it's not going away. Mm-hmm. Right? They're going to try to jam it down our throats no matter what. So, and there are benefits to the technocracy. When you are, or at least the technological advances, not necessarily technocracy, but the technological advances, when you are sitting on a hospital bed and they tell you, hey, you need a new liver, you're going to die. There's a waiting list, but you know, we just developed this artificial liver for you. From your own, you know, cells. Here you go. You're going to take it. Or are you going to say, no, 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 it's artificial. Get that out of here. You know, no, you're going to take it, right? Hey, I have really bad eyes. Like, my eyes are awful, right? And not to mention, you're looking at me now, you see how small they are, right? Like, I mean, if you're looking at me in the face in person, it's very different. But when I'm on here, everybody's like, why are you squinting? I'm like, I'm not squinting. My eyes are small. You know, so I mean, they tell me, you know, hey, do you want this eye that sees better than 20/20, man, and you can see at night? And I'm like, hell fucking yeah, let me get that thing, you know, right? So we have to find a balance.
Yeah,
we have to find a balance between that world and our world, preserving our humanity while working with the technological, right? And realizing that the technological is only a crutch. Right. It's a crutch for us that supports us, that helps us. And maybe we don't need that crutch. And if we paid more attention to our minds and our bodies and our spirits and our souls, maybe we can progress as humans we're supposed to progress. Because I'm saying we're progressing a ton, but we're killing ourselves at the same time.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
That's I always use the analogy of a boy, a little boy in the forest that discovered fire. He has fire and now he can warm himself up and he can cook and he can do so many things. But he's recklessly walking around with that fire throughout the forest, and he's burning down the forest around him.
Nice metaphor.
Right. That's humanity. That's the human race. That's what we're doing right now. Yeah. You know, and we need to find that balance where we can use that fire yet not burn down the forest. What that is, I don't know, but I think that's the only way we can find a solution. What was that you're saying?
I think that you're right with that first step. That resonates well with me. I was in the NA pro, you know, Narcotics Anonymous. So that's the that resonates well with
good for
with
you, everything.
But dude, thanks for you are a great speaker, man. You know when to pause. You are good. I think you should do some Audible reading.
I told you I have bad eyes, bro. Good luck.
We'll get you that big ass font.
Give me one of those things then.
Yeah, dude. Where can everyone find your podcast and your work and all those kind of things?
All right. So I'm going through a stage of transition right now. Okay. So some of this is subject to change. You can find me on Truth Frequency Radio at 7 p.m. Eastern Sundays. I do a show with Brissom there now. I don't do the Fringe out of there anymore. Okay. I do a show with Brissom there now called Live from the Kill Shed. It's only about 4 or 5 episodes in. You can find me on Apple Podcast and at the infinitefringe.podbeam.com. You look up the Infinite Fringe on Apple Podcast, you'll find me. And that's my baby, right? When I do the interview shows and stuff like that. So I do that there. You can find me over at Iconic, America Unplugged. I do that with Mr. Don Jeffries and Mr. Tony Atterburn. Every Sunday it drops. And that's David Icke, Jamie Icke, Gary Fike.
Right.
All those fine gentlemen over there that they house me. Thank you to them. And now I'm a part of Aftermath.fm, which is, I've had nothing but, I can't say a bad word about those people, and that nothing close. Stay tuned to what happened. You can find me there now. My show drops on Tuesdays, but there might be more. So stay tuned for all of that. And if you want to reach out to me and you want to curse me out, you can, at the Infinite Fringe, @gmail.com. So just write me an email, man. I'll write you back. I'm pretty good at writing back. I'm not pretty good at writing back right away, but I will write you back. Whatever you want. You want to ask me a question, you want to say what's up, or you just want to hate on me for a bit, man, I'm open to it. So thank you. Appreciate it. And thank you for having me on, brother.
Dude, thank you, man. Really. I really enjoyed it. It was a really good episode. So
I have fun too.
We'll be in touch.
Don't hang up.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Here.